Welcome to the Real Life Groups Leadership Podcast, a conversation about creating small groups where people grow in spiritual maturity in relationship. We're focused on you, the small group leader, giving tips and tools to help you lead effectively. My name is Chris Short, and welcome to the Real Life Groups Leadership Podcast. We're super excited for today's episode, Three Ways to Ruin a Small Group. I know that's probably already hooked your attention. And today we have great guests, Fred Bosse, who's our, does that sound weird? Great guests?
Sure.
Yeah, but you guys are great. It's so good to be here.
I'm feeling great.
Fred Bosse is our groups team leader at our Post Falls campus, and Shannon Kay is our women's team leader at our Post Falls campus. And these guys bring some great experience in leading staff, coaches, group leaders. They oversee hundreds of groups. And so super excited for this topic. And so I do have to ask, as we get rolling and started, so you guys help groups be effective. Why are we starting with helping to ruin a group? Three ways to ruin a group. Tell us about that.
Well, of course, we're being facetious on that. We're just trying to actually bring attention to the fact that there are things we can do that can really disrupt a group, and maybe even ruin might be a harsh word, a strong word for that, but it can go there. There are actually many ways that we can ruin our groups, but we've actually honed in on like a few that are really more prominent that we see over the years of things that really can have that
like
effect.
Like there's some patterns that you see.
Yeah, some patterns, exactly. Yep.
Well, and groups go through seasons. Mm-hmm. My group's gone through seasons. Yep. So you could be in a group where you're thinking, hey, I love this group, and there's no chance I could ruin it. But actually, as soon as you invite people and invite yourself, you're going to have challenging seasons and circumstances in your life.
Right.
And so I think those seasons are when we have the opportunity to ruin our group. So we want to give you some tools today to help you avoid that.
Love that. It's great. So that's a good way, place to start, too, because it's just reality that groups are filled with real people.
Yep.
And people bring problems sometimes. Obviously, there's an incredible opportunity. That's why we do what we do. We want to help people grow in spiritual maturity in relationship, but relationships are hard, and there's things that we can help them kind of navigate. So let's jump in. I'm super excited to hear about some of these three. Let's learn about some of the three ways to ruin a small group. Fred, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I would say the first way is to focus only on content.
Okay.
Just focus on content only, leave everything else behind, just get right in there, get into the study, you know, don't worry about prayer, don't worry about relationship, don't worry about any of that. That would be a great way to ruin the content. And, you know, when I think about, you know, many people come here to this church and they want to know, you know, what makes our groups different and what's different. Well, our groups are relational, relational discipleship. So there's a balance there that we have to maintain. And when a lot of times people are like, well, I want to get into God's word and I want to get into the study. I want to get through the curriculum. And but that's really not the goal. A curriculum is a tool for us to use. And when we overplay that, of course, we want to get into God's word. We want to see what God's word says, that's the truth, right? And, but if we're not, if we focus solely on that and not on those other things, we just get out of balance.
So you're not saying content or study is a problem. You're saying when that's the only thing that I care about, I'm just so hyper-focused on that I'm just going to, every second of my hour or my hour and a half with my group, I'm going, okay, we got to get through these questions. We got to walk through it.
And it usually comes from a good heart, you know, especially some young leaders or leaders that maybe they're like, this is what I want to do. And they get all excited, like, I got through every question in the curriculum last night. Like, that's the big win. I'm like, man, you missed it. It's really not the big win. I mean, the idea is to get discussion going so that we can help people wrestle with God's word and with God's people and to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work that only He can do in our hearts.
Yeah, and Shannon, would you say you've seen this as a problem as well?
Oh, for sure. when you focus on the content only and not the relationship, there's a breakdown. John Maxwell says people don't know or don't care what you know until they know that you care.
That's great.
And so as leaders, we need to be able to build that relational bridge that's strong enough to support the truth that we want to bring. That's and great. When we don't do that, it creates a huge gap.
Yep, I love it. So I love where we started this. So Shannon, why don't you tell us the second way? What is the next way to ruin a small group? Tell us how to ruin a group.
The second way to ruin a small group is to focus only on relationship.
Okay.
Toss out everything you care about content and only focus on building relationship. You actually miss the whole purpose of a small group, which is to grow in spiritual maturity and relationship.
Mm.
And I think here's kind of the hiccup with relationship is it's fun. And so when you start to build relationship, there's a season where that's necessary, but you just create a social group and we want to help our people grow. So if you're in a season and your people aren't connected relationally, focus there. Have some potlucks, do things outside of group. Have an icebreaker every week to get to know your people better.
Yep.
But don't just stay in the fun. You want to build that relationship, get to know them, and then you actually want to dig into God's word, and you want to help people grow spiritually, and you want to challenge them where they are.
So this is kind of the flip side of only focusing on content is only focusing on the relational aspect to group. And so you guys are kind of saying there's a dichotomy here. We need to care about both of these things in balance, which kind of goes back to our key phrase we use, purpose statement, is to grow in spiritual maturity in relationship.
Right.
It's biblical disciples in a relational context, right? Mm-hmm. I love that. Fred, what else are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I would just say, and that's really in line with our vision and mission here at Real Life, is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. We do that by creating biblical disciples in relational environments. We want people to make disciples who make disciples of Jesus. And that's what we see Jesus doing. That's what we see the early church doing. That's what we want to do as disciples ourselves here. And when we do that in groups, we create those relationships. And I like what Shannon said about seasons, because especially when a group is new, they're in this forming stage. It is going to be higher on the relational side of things for a period of time, because people aren't really going to open up and really be true until they know that you care, right? Mm-hmm. Until they know that it's a safe place. And part of that also is we have group guidelines that help us to create a safe place as well.
So I'm really hearing kind of like a tightrope, and Jim Putman uses this analogy of like two wings of a plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's intentionality, it's relationship. And I think that really is the same idea here. So how do we help small group leaders? How do these small group leaders who are listening balance these two both really important topics? It's intentionality, purpose, content, and relationship and building that relationship. How do they balance those, Shannon?
I think the key is intentionality.
Yeah.
Our leaders that are leading great groups, they're intentional down from the planning of how they're going to lead the night down to the connection of relationship personally for them with the people in the group, but actually for the people in the group with each other.
Mm.
So they're intentional, and then they utilize their resources, which means trainings, coaching, talking to their groups team. All of those things help those leaders.
I love that key word, and I think that can summarize a lot of this conversation is just the word intentionality, right? How do they stay intentional? How do they look ahead, think and pray about where their group's going? Fred?
Yeah, and I would say just don't always just be thinking about group night, right? Mm-hmm. The 2 hours in the middle of the week that you meet, but also doing things outside of group, going bowling together, or see a movie together, go out to dinner. And it doesn't always have to be the whole group. It can be individuals and things like that as well. Meet for coffee throughout the week. And that's really important as well. It starts to build those bonds of relationship that will help people as they grow in Christ.
That's great. That's super helpful. All right, well, let's move on to our third item of ways to ruin a group. And I'm sure there's lots of ways that we could ruin a group, right? But for the podcast we're doing, tell us about what's that third way.
The third way is avoiding conflict. Conflict is inevitable. As humans, and we are, we're going to experience conflict, and you're going to experience conflict in your groups.
Mm-hmm.
As a leader, you actually want to address and deal and walk through that conflict to have a healthy group. If you stuff it down, And I've done that before in groups that I've been a part of. If you stuff it down and ignore it, it doesn't grow smaller and go away. It actually grows bigger.
Yeah. Mm. So it's not just having conflict because we're going to have conflict.
Yep.
It's unresolved conflict.
Right. Absolutely.
So why, Fred, does unresolved conflict cause problems in a group?
Oh, yeah. Well, it eats away. It's like a cancer that eats away at relationship.
Yeah.
You know, when things aren't discussed or talked about. And it doesn't have to be just conflict between two people. When there is, like I mentioned, that the guidelines, when people are not following the guidelines, that's a conflict in the group.
Yeah.
And it's up to the leader that has to deal with that. I can remember a time where I had a guy that was just a super high over talker. And I don't like conflict. A lot of people think I do because I was in the military. No, I don't like conflict. And, man, I did not want to say things. So I was trying some passive-aggressive ways to handle it, and none of it was all going right over his head. And well, I finally just had to set him down and have a direct conversation and talk to him about what he was doing in group and how it was affecting the group. And, you know, that was years ago, and actually recently in one of our classes, he spoke up and he was asked, like, what was something impactful that somebody did? And he mentioned that I had the courage to talk to him about that and how it had impacted him. Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show, like, it's better to have the conflict in a biblical way to resolve it quickly. You know, like someone said, it's like, it's not going to get any easier. Yeah. So to handle it appropriately can also mean sometimes, rarely do you handle it really directly in group. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a gentle correction in group, but if it has to be more than that, it has to be outside of group time, just for to be loving and kind, yep. right, and gracious to the person, and you don't want to throw people under the bus. Yeah.
And it goes back to the intentionality piece, I'm assuming, too. It's kind of how you start, the expectations that you set, mm-hmm. that you're going, here's what we want to see in our group. We're going to have conflict.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to deal with that when it happens?
Yeah.
We're going to press into it in a healthy way, biblically. A lot of people haven't learned how to have biblical conflict.
Right.
Right.
And in our guidelines, and we have little bookmarks that have all the guidelines on them, we have all those on there. We talk about them regularly, especially as we kick off the group, like you said, from day one every season. Even if the group's been meeting for years, you still go through those guidelines on a regular basis to remind people. And I think it's the last one on there. It's like resolve conflict biblically, and it is really important.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to make a comment real quick too. Just this topic obviously is so important. We're going to have a dedicated episode to talk about how mm-hmm. to resolve conflict biblically. So you can be looking for that in the future. So we will talk more about that. But let me summarize what I heard today. This is great stuff. I've learned how to ruin my group. This is really good. So first, you want to focus only on content, right? Mm. We want to focus only on relationship at one of those two extremes. And then we want to avoid conflict at all costs, right? We're going to avoid conflict. And then you will successfully ruin your group. And again, we know this is facetious, but it's really helpful to go, these are some basic ruts that we can get into that can really cause destruction in a group. Mm-hmm. Let's just head into kind of what would you say to a group leader that would want to grow in these areas? What mm-hmm. would be some next steps that you would kind of point them towards? Shannon, thoughts on that?
Definitely, I would say utilize the trainings that your church offers. Talk to your groups team. Each of our campuses has trainings designed to help you facilitate your group and lead a great group, but also how to disciple your people. So great. Utilize that. Utilizing the coaching structures and leadership above you. Ask questions. Bring challenges and even solutions to your leaders. Get feedback.
Yep. So getting outside feedback, kind of ongoing education. Maybe if you're a new leader, those first-time classes, mm-hmm. but we have mm-hmm. classes all over the place you can keep growing in, mm-hmm. but then utilizing the team that is there to support you, mm-hmm. groups, pastors, women's discipleship leaders, whoever you have at your campus that you can go to, utilize those. I love that. Fred, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts?
Yeah, we also have some resources available. The discipleship training manual, the white manual is one of them that's good.
Real-life discipleship training manual, right?
Yes. Yep. And then we have some other, like there's a... The Way of the Shepherd is a good resource that we have available for our leaders. Walking a small group tightrope is a good one. And I forget, what was the last one?
I'm going to cheat and look. It is not on here. essentials for leading a small group.
Essentials for leading a small group. Yeah, there you go. And that's just been rewritten as well. It's a really good resource.
It's great.
Yeah, very digestible for non-readers.
It is. It's actually my favorite for non-readers because you can look up a group challenge or a leadership question, and it's really simple bullet point practical solutions. Yep.
So there are a lot of resources, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, churches around the world have small groups, and there's so many good things. But you're saying intentionality, continue to grow in it. Yep. And by the way, we're going to put all the links in our show notes to find out these books. You can, again, talk to your group's team about some of these conversations because they have access to some of these for you. Mm-hmm. But continue to grow, continue to learn. Avoid these extreme ruts, as we talked about. But it is a work in progress, and people take intentionality and time, and that's the business we're in, is helping people grow in spiritual maturity and relationship.
Yeah. So, and don't do it alone.
Don't do it alone. I love that. Yeah. Well, it's been awesome having you guys here. This is super helpful. I've learned how to ruin my group, you know, really more intentionally, how to avoid some of these different things, and just excited to be able to see how this helps so many of our group leaders. We want to thank you for joining us today. Again, check out our show notes for all the things we talked about in this episode, and we can't wait to see you next time. We are grateful for the investment you make each week as you reach the world for Jesus one person at a time and make biblical disciples in relational environments. For notes from this show and other great resources to help you grow, visit realliferesources.org.